This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. Recent events sparked question. How aware are the general public on medical conditions like autism? When thrust into a situation that requires a certain understanding of such a condition, awareness becomes an important thing. Charlene Maria Samuel of Autism Consultancy and Nicole Sonia, a consultant and therapist, are here to discuss the level of autism awareness in Malaysia based on their recent experience. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are you today?
Hi, good. We're good. Thank you for having us.
Charlene, you're the founder of Autism Consultancy. You want to give me a bit of a background? What is this organization all about?
Basically, it was founded about 2.5 years ago. And I started off just to reach more families. We provide ABA therapy as well as school shadowing for children in the spectrum.
What's ABA therapy?
Applied Behavior Analysis.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was something I started off. Actually, I can't quite remember how everything went down, but at that point, I was a senior therapist for about 4 years. Yeah, and I at that point, I wanted to just create more opportunities to for families to access ABA therapy, because ABA therapy is known to be quite rather expensive, you know. So I tried to lower down fees so that more families can access the therapy. So that's how Autism Consultancy mainly came about. We started off with therapy. So we've been doing a home-based therapy. So we go to the families' homes, we set up a room and we do therapy. And after that came about school shadowing, which is support for children at schools. Yeah.
And so Nicole has been with you ever since?
She's been with me for about a year or so. A year or so.
Nicole, what got you involved with helping, you know, people on the autism spectrum?
So I love children in general. And 3 years ago when I first started, it was just a job. And but working with them intensively made me to be more passionate about children with autism.
Okay. Yeah. Charlene, when you started up Autism Consultancy, did you think that one day you would actually want to, you know, go into opening up a school or a center or something for these children? Because there's no formal education for children on the autism spectrum. And a lot of parents fall back on these ad hoc centers and classes and stuff like that. Did you find that there was a gap, and hence you decided to, you know, embark on a project, you know, setting up a center?
Yeah, somewhat like that, because to be honest, if you asked me 6-7 years ago if I would see myself where I am right now, never in my wildest dreams imagine this. But the reason why we decided to open a center instead of stick to what we've been doing all this while, which was home-based therapy, is because we wanted to give these children a school setting to learn from. So the thing about home-based therapy, it's amazing because it's convenient mostly for families, because we come to them. However, most of the times when it comes to social support, when we want them to start interacting with other kids, we usually kind of hit a brick wall at that point, because it's intensive therapy and it's one-on-one in the home setting. So if they don't happen to have neighbors or friends around their age, or people that are willing to be part of, you know, therapy, and, you know, for the kid to work on social situations and social skills, you know, it gets challenging. So we were hoping by opening a center, we would have many kids in the spectrum and, you know, who would be more open to working with one another, just to help them through, you know, social skills, just as simple as saying hi, sharing, turn taking, and things like that. So basically, the idea was to create a school setting for children.
Okay. And when you say autism, and you talk about autism spectrum disorder, is there a difference, Nicole?
Charlene,
go ahead.
Well, basically, in the recent about a year or two, it's been all put under one umbrella. Previously, it was categorized under different subtypes, autism. So it was like autistic disorder, pervasive developmental disorder, you know, Asperger's. They were all quite separate. But until late, it's been put under one umbrella. So generally, even by autism spectrum disorder, the spectrum. Spectrum, basically, it's a wide range, yes. You know. So if you would meet one child in the spectrum, it's definitely the second person you meet is probably not going to be anything quite like that. So it's a range of abilities and difficulties in the spectrum. So it's pretty much used interchangeably. It's about the same thing, but it's a spectrum. So some children could be high functioning, means they're quite close to typical. You know, they just have to work on certain social skills or emotion regulation. And some kids could be mildly affected, and some could be severely affected. So how these children would, you know, cope in life would be very different.
And based on your experience, what are the usual characteristics that an autistic person presents?
Okay, so usually autism is characterized generally by these three. So it would be repetitive behaviors, and most of us would call it stimming, self-stimulatory behaviors, and delay or difficulty in communication, verbal and non-verbal, as well as difficulties in social interaction. So in my experience, actually, one of the first things that parents catch for in their toddlers would actually be social interaction. So most of our kids tend to play on their own or play in an unusual manner. So that would kind of go like, okay, that's something different, you know. And eye contact is one of them as well. So many of our kids that are young, if you call their name, they probably won't respond, or they don't even look at you. And it's quite typical, like say for a baby, when you make funny faces, they would
respond.
Exactly, they would reciprocate. So for some of our kids as well, they may not, you know. So that again is like a red flag for us.
What about adults? You know, we've spoken about autism for a long time now, and a lot of these children have now grown up to be adults. And I, in terms of support, I don't even want to go there, because if the support for the children is already really nothing to talk about, then I'll probably save another day to talk about the adults who suffer from autism. But do adults present the same characteristics?
They could possibly, really depending on how much support they've received, you know, for early intervention. That's why we try to push for early intervention. But generally, adults... I've seen both. I've seen those who have mostly come out of autism, so they've been receiving and been undergoing a lot of therapy. And if I would meet them and I have a conversation with them, I would never guess that they are in the spectrum. But there would be probably certain things about them that you may see as odd. Like if you probably don't know what autism is, you probably just think it's the person's personality. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, wanting things to be done in a certain way. You know, but very, very firm that it has to be that way. So that's what we call it, rigidity. We see this in some of our younger kids, but I have seen it in older kids as well, or adolescents or young adults, you know, that they probably have a certain structure or a certain system how things has to be done. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm sure we probably know a person who has that.
I'm just thinking, yeah, exactly. You know of a person, but you don't want to say, I think you're on the spectrum, you know.
But it could be, that's why I say, it could be, many people would think, oh, that's just his personality, you know, he just likes it that way. You know, many adults on the spectrum, they do get married, they have families, but they may have difficulty maybe in social interaction. So they're probably, if you put it in layman's terms, you might probably think they're probably an introvert. You know, like, oh, he just likes being on his own. Mm-hmm. He likes enjoying his, you know, his own time. But that doesn't mean every person who's introverted is on the spectrum.
Okay.
But that's how probably a child with autism has grown up to be. Some of them more severe than others, you know. Some of them, you know, get married, they have their own families. Some of them have to be fully supported by their family throughout their whole life. So, again, it's a spectrum.
You're a consultant and therapist, Nicole. What pushed you to working with children on the spectrum?
I said before, it was just a job at first. But
what have you gained from that experience?
I met a lot of children where they're misunderstood. People think that they're being naughty, or, you know, they don't know whether they're autistic or not. But when I work with them one-to-one, you can see their special skills, and basically working with them kind of makes me, I would say, fall in love working with them. Yeah.
Right. And how do you help them? Can these behaviors, can you get over them? Can you work on them to improve them?
The children's behaviors?
Yes. In terms of the characteristics which are, you know, which autistic people usually, you know, present with. Can you, are you working with the behavior? What are you actually working with?
Sometimes we can, well, we target the behavior, of course, but sometimes we also, I think we work with...
Yeah, we work on social skills, life skills, independence, making friends, you know, going to school, you know. So basically behavior management is a big area of what we look at, you know, because what we believe is if we cannot manage behavior, so if the child is always crying, always, you know, pushing things off the table and, you know, you can't really get to that child until you address behavior. So yes, behavior management is something we look at, I would say, more than half of the time. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we use this method to teach skills.
Right. But what is your role as a therapist? What are you actually doing?
Okay, as a therapist, they would look at the programs that's prepared by a consultant. That would be myself or Nicole. And basically, they're just like teachers. So they have a certain curriculum they have to follow. And they are working very closely with the children. So for like Nicole and myself, many times when we're consulting, we are not there day in, day out working with the child. So we're there just to oversee progress, you know. So a therapist is very much hands-on. So basically they're the one pushing through the programs, following through, making sure that the programs are done, making sure that the child is at a state ready to accept the programs. That will mean behavior management, you know, the child is happy. So most of our younger children, actually, our ABA therapy is very much play-based because of their age. We can't expect a two-year-old to sit down and complete a worksheet, you know. So a therapist also would probably be a playmate, you know. So basically they everything a child would need according to the age.
We're discussing autism awareness in Malaysia. I think Charlene is founder of, not I think, I know. Charlene's actually founder of the Autism Consultancy. And I think recently you had an experience, a run-in with a group of people which, you know, sort of told you it indicates the lack of awareness as far as autism in this country is concerned. But before that, I want to find out, what were some of the, you know, usual or conversations that you would have with families who came through to you to seek your advice? That's coming up next. If you have a question for either of them, send it through. It's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasuthi. We're discussing autism in Malaysia with Charlene Mary Samuel. She's an applied behavior analysis therapist and a founder of Autism Consultancy, and Nicole Sonia, who's a consultant and therapist. Charlene, I'm going to go straight into it. You were recently made painfully aware of the lack of awareness right here in our thriving city. Could you briefly share that story with us and run in with some of the community at the Gated and Garden community in Taman Vista Churas?
We've been actually over the last year, I was really trying to push to open a center for children for autism. So we found a really nice place that I thought, oh, hey, this place is amazing. It's gated, it's guarded. That would also mean that our kids get to enjoy safety facilities. There was a playground half a minute away. So, and the place is really beautiful, to be honest, you know. So what we did was setting up, we didn't have any problems. We had an open day about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. On that day as well, no problem. So we had quite a bit of families come in to bring in their children for assessments. And it was basically a success. Saturday was really a good success. And on Monday, basically, for the next week, we were supposed to open it to parents to bring in the child for further assessments and basically just to play. You know, because for many of our kids, they have difficulties with integration into a new setting, you know.
Yes.
So basically, we just wanted to create an avenue for the children to just come and play without demands, being asked to sit down and do activities yet. So what happened was, Nicole was there actually. I was informed all of this through phone, but she and a bunch of therapists which were also interning with us was stopped at the gates, by the guards, and they were not allowed to go in. And I got a call about 7:30 in the morning, and Nicole was like, Charlene, we have a problem. I'm like, wow, really? So I had to speak to the house owner, and she spoke to, I think, the committee maybe, you know. And I think about an after an hour or so,
yeah
they finally got in, but basically they were told that they couldn't drive in, and we had to park our cars at the guardhouse and walk in to work, you know. So we were expecting a client to come into play, so we had to put this behind us, and they proceeded to walk in and just go about their normal day. So I got a call from Nicole stating that we were going to meet for a meeting that night, and yep, so it was a very long meeting, more than what we anticipated, and nothing. We didn't see this coming, actually. So it was initially we met with the chairman,
residents,
yes, the presidents, and it was just us, Nicole and myself, and the house owner and the agent. So we. Our intention was we already knew there was a problem, you know, because we were not allowed in, and. We basically, my intention for that meeting was to meet halfway, you know, because at that point I really didn't feel we did anything wrong, you know. So and it was, I think we barely operated less than 3 hours or something like that on the Monday, so you know that there couldn't have been anything. So we met and things didn't go really well, but in the end of the day, what we learned was, yes, there was a lack of what autism was, because when I posed the question back to some of the people, some of the residents joined us for the meeting halfway through, and I was like, okay, does anybody know what autism was, you know? And basically, nobody could really answer us, so basically, Nicole and I did our best to tell them and explain to them that these kids are no different from any other kids, you know, and they just need our support, and we're really hoping that we could work in your community, and as a group, it was they voted, and they basically told us that because we were a business entity, mm-hmm. you know, they did not want us in their community, you know. And it was if the verdict was the same, say, okay, guys, you need to leave, you know, we're not happy you being here, ABCDE, this is what you did wrong, you know, and there's nothing how you can improve it, you know, I probably would have taken it much better, but it's just how it went about, you know, it's just perhaps the meeting was not as civil as I would like it to be, and okay. It was just full of emotions, and it was long and draggy, and we finally got home about 11:30 at night. It was just uncalled for. So, but it sparked a lot of emotions with a lot of people, and the netizens have been so amazingly supportive, so I thank you for that. But basically, it comes down to the fact that many people are not aware of what autism is, you know, and it's a pity. I think if you knew someone who's in the spectrum, probably they would be a little bit more understanding, but I perhaps many of these people maybe have heard of autism, but they're not very sure what autism is.
2 weeks down, where you at?
Okay, so it's been a blessing this guys, actually. The first few days was actually chaotic. I kind of tried to tune out myself. I didn't think that it would blow up to the proportions that it did. But I have received hundreds of emails and Facebook messages from parents and the community, you know, just apologizing for what we had to go through. And many of them offered support. So, you know, is there any way we can help you? Where do you want to move to next? You know, I know this agent, he can help you out. And and all of that, we've been offered a few possible, opportunities to work with centres to be, you know, part of the team. So I would say that a lot of blessings has come out of this, you know, I can't complain, but it's been difficult, you know, yeah. but then again, you know, nothing comes easy,
yeah.
You know, so I've been quite thankful for that.
A lot of families I know are looking for centres like this,
yeah.
Because there is, as I said, no formal education as such. Government system, does it cater for children with autism?
They do. There are many government schools that have like a special class, and I know some of them can move back and forth. Like if they're performing well, they can go into mainstream, and they have having difficulty, they can come back into a special class. But it's not treatment per se. It's an opportunity to be inclusive. But this comes with an assumption that the child is able to independently function in a school setting. Mm-hmm. So if the child has not like learned certain skills, you know, sitting down, taking instructions, you can put them into the school, but how much they can take out of it is quite questionable. Yeah, so
And based on the conversations that you have with families and what's coming through, I know they have a lot of frustrations. I know they have, you know, they're pretty lost for their children. What are some of the conversations that you have with them? What are their concerns?
in parents in general?
Yeah. No, more, the parents of children with autism.
Okay. To be honest, most parents, when their child first is diagnosed, they come to me and they basically, some of them do break down and tell me it's my fault. You know, I didn't spend enough time with him. I didn't play with him. I had to go to work, you know, and I realized it's too late. So I think part of, you know, us being consultants and when we're contacted, it's also just to let parents know that, you know, it's nobody's fault. But what do you do next? You know, because we really push for early intervention. That's essentially what ABA is. You know, we try to reach the child as young as possible.
So you're an advocate for early intervention.
Yes, we are. So the first thing I try to tell parents is, I know you must be going through so much because I can't say I know what you're going through. I really don't. But what do you do next, you know, that will make a difference for the child? So many times it will be, you know, parents, you know, really distraught and, you know, telling me their stories and, you know, it's difficult. On top of that, it's financial aid. Many parents come to me seeking therapy because generally therapy for ABA is actually very expensive. So we try to work out something that, you know, it's something they can afford, you know. On top of that, we have some families that, most families come to me with a very long-term goal. Like, even if they would come to me, say, two or three, if the child is two or three, Charlene, I really want my child to go to mainstream school. I'm like, well, let's take one step at a time, you know, because, again, it's a spectrum and I can't promise you what's going to happen 5 years down the road. But what we can do is we can work slowly towards our goals, break down our goals, and we work slowly towards where we want to go, you know. So that's one of the major concerns, actually.
When a parent tells you that he or she has a child who has recently been diagnosed mm-hmm. with autism, what do you usually tell them?
First of all, I tell them I'm really sorry to hear that, but it's not the end of the world because there is so much support right now. If your child was diagnosed, say, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, there was so limited support. Many people don't know what autism yeah. is. You know, I've even heard of stories of some children being institutionalized, you know, because there was just a lack of understanding of what autism is. So, you know, basically, I tell parents that I need you to work with me. You need to be strong for your child and we can go from there, you know, because I think sometimes being, I would say, the main source of, you know, support for a family. We have a lot of families talking to us about, you know, what they go through, and that's fair. But, you know, to help your child, you need to get yourself together. And that's the same for us as therapists. You know, if we have issues outside of therapy, when we are in therapy, we are in the zone. We are there for the child. And sometimes being a parent is difficult because you're there 24 hours a day. We're there, say, 3 to 4 hours a day, and then we leave. So, you know, the main thing I tell parents is you have to be strong. Let's break down goals and we go from there, you know?
You say early intervention is crucial. Nicole, what are some of the signs or symptoms that we should be looking out for and how young?
I think, like, the age of 3, by 2.5 to 3, they do not have the attention from anyone else around them, so the parents could be calling their name and then they would not respond. They'll just continue just maybe having their steaming behavior. What else?
3, to be honest, in a Malaysian culture, most of our kids actually get diagnosed around 2 to 3.
Yes.
But many of the red flags actually come up as young as 12 months, 16 months, 18 mm-hmm. months, you know, because it's simple things like eye contact. They're not giving you eye contact. They're not reciprocating your smile, you know, they're not playing with other kids. And most children start to babble, say, 12 to 14 months, you know. So many of our kids who hit about 24 months, they probably don't have any language. They haven't not called, yeah, no speech, no, have not called mummy, daddy. And that actually speech is one of the main concerns, actually. That's mm-hmm. why most families seek out speech therapists. You know, because that's the first thing you expect a child yes. to start calling you mummy or daddy or car or something, milk. But many of the times this doesn't come about.
How variable is the disorder exactly?
It's a very big variable.
Yeah, and it's a large spectrum. It's a long one.
Yeah, I've had kids come into us as young as like 24 months and they've got actually a very extensive vocabulary. But still, because generally what it is, we compare it to milestones of a typical child. Yep. So your child may have 50 words at 2 years old, but actually that's considerably low, Yeah, by 2 years old, they actually would have hundreds of words. They could string together short phrases like "I want milk," "No, I don't want," "Give me back." So many of our children, which is most commonly, I would say 9 out of 10 kids would come in with no language or one word request. So milk, no, their car, things like
okay.
that.
Okay, I've read somewhere that you have to keep autistic children engaged with the world. Research is starting to show that a child should be engaged at least 20 hours a week. So every child on the spectrum should have this 20-hour contact?
Yeah, I would say 20 hours, again, is subjective because, like, for example, for ABA, a full program would roughly be 36 to 40 hours a week, so it's much more intensive than that. Then again, with 20 hours, you can see massive improvements already. So what they're saying is, I think, just a lot of consistency. That's what we're looking for, I would say that's an average. And I've had kids that show massive improvements just with 10 hours of therapy a week, and some that show improvements with 40 hours a week. Then again, because it's a spectrum. So if, say, they are high functioning with language and they just need to work on a few things like turn taking, learning emotion regulation, what do I do when I'm angry, what do I do when, certain situations, we can do so much more with that. But say if you're starting off from scratch, no language, unable to sit down, unable to take instructions, so we're pretty much starting off with a clean slate, then of course 20 hours or anything more than that would be great.
Right. What is the most challenging aspect of your work? Patience.
I would say yes, it's very much
having the patience.
Yeah, having the patience.
You can't be so emotionally
attached
to them. Yeah, because one day they are going to leave and move on, and we can't always be there. Yeah.
And is the goal always to try and work with this child so that they can go and be a part of the schools, enjoy that inclusive education?
Yeah, that's exactly what we try to do, though, because even with what we do, we generally try to start with very intensive therapy, but as the child gets better, we will cut down therapy, and with the extra hours, we actually push them back into community. So going back to school, going on play dates, going to the playground and meeting people. So our idea of any sort of therapy, actually, the end goal should be inclusiveness into a school, into community, having friends, making friends. So that is the end target.
Are you ever discouraged by slow progress, which I'm sure it happens all the time?
It does. I think after doing this for so many years, I'm generally never discouraged. But I think what's challenging is, getting the parents to understand that this progress, it's not something that it's overnight. So we've had some kids, who have been stuck on a certain step, for example, for the longest time, and just one day they get it, and it's so worth it that we push through, because if we didn't, for example, he may not be able to go to the toilet independently, if we didn't push through. So sometimes it's all about patience and just trusting the method, trusting your therapist, and we've been really blessed. We've got really amazing parents. But it is difficult sometimes because, like I said, because it's intensive and there's a lot of money that goes into this and parents want to see results. So for consultants, our job sometimes is to let them know that you need to give it time. If this is something that's been going on for a long time, you can't expect us to change it overnight, so it's going to take equally and a significant amount of time to change behavior, because generally behavior management is challenging.
You talk about awareness on autism, I think we've come to a stage where I honestly thought that people are more aware of autism. I'm quite surprised that you run in with residents who don't quite understand what autism really is. Well, maybe their concerns were, they had other concerns as well. But the very fact that they didn't understand what autism is, well, we're not doing enough in spreading this word.
Yeah, I guess not. I think just with autism or any other, disability, I think that we need much more support and awareness. I really thought that we did actually have a lot of awareness.
So did
Yeah, but you'd be surprised that not many people, understand what it is. Mm-hmm. They probably have heard of it. But I think what's the problem is here that people hear about it, but they don't really know anything else about it, you know? Or they meet one person and they think they're all just like that, correct, you know? So that's difficult.
Yeah. So just to, you know, it's a complex disorder of brain development.
Correct.
We do not know what causes autism as yet.
Yes.
There is no cure as such to this day. So it's all about managing the problem the best that you can. And it also depends, management depends on which part of the spectrum you're on.
Correct.
Really. And just moving forward, you got a target as to when you're going to start up the center? And
So actually, like I said, blessings has come in so many forms and shapes. Initially, this year was something I told myself that I'm going to open up one center, you know, and hopefully every year from that we open another branch. That was the idea. But we've been approached by two or three different centres and different bodies.
Yeah.
And basically, I could see a possibility of us opening up in more than one location, you know. So, you know, we've been really blessed. Right now, everything's kind of in discussion. So, if anything, we would see something more concrete, say, end of February, you know. So, but we've been in discussions, and it looks like that it's definitely going to be more than one location, which is something that I'm actually really excited about. That just means we can reach so many more people.
Children.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Your final message on just what would you like to leave us with on autism awareness, Nicole?
To parents, well, if you think that your child could be autistic or maybe delayed in any way, try to seek help as much as possible, as fast as possible. If you know anyone who could be autistic, just let them know, maybe help them out, guide them. Yeah.
Charlene?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Nicole. I think our biggest thing about awareness is early intervention, really. So if you see anything amiss, it doesn't have to be autism, but just a delay in any part of the child's development, seek help, see a psychologist, see a pediatrician, and they can lead you from there. You know, as much as, I mean, this is an old saying, but I do hear of a lot of people who still say it this way. Oh, you know, he's a boy, you know, boys talk. They develop speech much older. So if he's 5 and he's not talking yet, it's fine. You know, his speech is going to come along next year. So, I mean, some families are very fortunate that sometimes that really is. It's just really just a speech delay. But sometimes speech delay could be just another facet of autism. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be something more than that. So what we're saying is early intervention, and try not to just, you know, say, oh, it's he's a boy, that's why he isn't speaking yet. And to be fair, you know, more children that are diagnosed are males. They're little boys, you know. So sometimes they don't get enough help early enough just because the stigma of boys speak later. Mm-hmm. You know, so please seek help, you know.
But that's not the only symptom, so you want to
look
out for others.
Yes, it could be as simple as a speech delay.
Yeah.
But any support early would make a difference, even if it's just a speech delay and not autism, it will make a difference to your child.
What sort of support do you need right now?
For us?
Yes.
For me, it's mostly just autism awareness, I guess. I think we've been blessed that we've got, I've got a huge support network with the people I work, you know, Nicole and my family and friends. So right now, we're just hoping to set up somewhere, you know, that our children and therapists are comfortable at. And I think we are headed in the right way, you know, but perhaps just for people to be a little bit more aware, find out what autism is, you know, go out, meet people, and don't sweep it under the carpet. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, what happens sometimes. You know something's wrong, but nobody really wants to address it.
Correct.
So that's something that we need to address.
So if you'd like to find out more about Autism Consultancy, do visit projecthopeforautism.com. That's 4 numeric. And you'll be able to get more information from there.
Thank you.
The good work, ladies. And
thank you
for joining us today.
Yes.
Charlene Mary Samuel, Applied Behavior Analysis Therapist and founder of Autism Consultancy, together with Nicole Sonia, a consultant and therapist on autism awareness in Malaysia, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.